Roberta mentioned we're doing a little bit of a switch here. And what we'd like to do is just make a slight change in the order of the presentation. And my presentation, which was listed as fourth, will now be first. And what that will do is allow me to give you a little bit of context for the next three presentations. Now, in the next sessions, in the next couple of presentations, what you're going to hear is about three groups have taken an opportunity to adapt proven approaches to increasing physical activity within three culturally different communities. Now, these three groups were part of a larger four-site project. And in this presentation, I'd like to give you the background or the framework for this larger four-site project. And then my colleagues will provide you with sort of the site-specific work. Now, our hope is that some of this information will be useful to you in the work that you do back home. By way of background, lack of physical activity, as we know all too well, is closely linked with the incidence of several chronic diseases and a lower quality of life. Regular physical activity within many racially and ethnically diverse groups is a particular problem, as shown in this slide using data from CDC's Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, and underscores a need for us to do a better job of promoting culturally appropriate strategies to increase physical activity to help prevent chronic diseases such as cancer. First, some encouraging news, and that's the fact that there are now a number of proven strategies for increasing physical activity. These can provide a useful touchstone, if you will, in developing health promotion interventions. A good source for these evidence-based approaches is CDC's Guide to Clinical Preventive Services. Strategies in the guide for increasing physical activity can be nicely grouped into three categories. First are information approaches such as community-wide campaigns, which focus on changing knowledge and attitudes about benefits related to being active within communities. Second are behavioral and social approaches, such as changing individual physical activity behavior and improving support for physical activity. These strategies focus on behavioral management skills and creating social environments in which it's easy to be active. And third are environmental and policy approaches, such as improving access and point of decision prompts. These strategies help to create safe, attractive, and convenient physical environments in which to be active. Now, how best to adapt these strategies for different racial and ethnic groups? We were interested in exploring whether a social marketing approach, specifically use of focus groups and in-depth interviews, could help us do a better job of identifying how to adapt and promote these strategies within our communities. We used a social marketing framework as a theoretical basis or anchor for our study. We were drawn to social marketing because of its focus on defining and understanding target audiences, their wants, needs, and interests with regards to a behavior, in our case, increasing physical activity. This is a busy figure that you may not be able to see very well, so let me help. It shows two paths that we as researchers can take to learn how best to adapt and eventually disseminate an intervention. One path focuses on the consumers or target population and studying what will appeal to this segment. On the other path, one works with gatekeepers such as community leaders and others who can influence the target population to learn about each population's cultures and beliefs. The results of both sets of research really need to be taken into account if we are to design and disseminate successful energy balance programs. So what did we do? This slide depicts our methods. We first conducted focus groups with individuals from each of the projects to learn about their perceptions of the benefits and barriers to each of the selected strategies. Focus groups were conducted with low-income Latino women in Texas, which Kip will discuss, Native Hawaiian college students in Hawaii, which Jamie will report on, Hmong parents and their children in California, and low-income African-American women in the Mississippi Delta, which Isabel will present. Now, we also interviewed or conducted research with key leaders in these communities to learn about their assessment of the selected strategies. A unique feature to our work, we think, was including input from this second set of lens. In other words, from these intermediaries or gatekeepers within each of the four communities, since they can help present a much deeper understanding of the relevant context. We interviewed Hispanic church leaders in Texas, community elders in Hawaii, a family social worker, church leader, teacher, and community leader within the Hmong community in California, and community health advisors, or CHARPs, in Mississippi. A total of 292 participants, composed of 204 adults, 40 children, and 48 intermediaries, participated in the study. The topics discussed in the focus groups in the interviews included benefits of engaging in physical activity, reactions to the proposed strategies, and also perceptions both about the benefits and the barriers to following the strategies. This slide summarizes the findings from the focus groups and the interviews conducted at each site. Overwhelmingly, strategies that aim to create or improve social support and increase access to physical activity received the most positive feedback from all groups. Improving social support was viewed favorably because it was considered most in line with cultural norms. And improving access to physical activity received positive feedback because people reported valuing their community resources and wanting to use their parks, walking trails, community recreation centers, churches, especially among African American and Latino women, beaches among Native Hawaiian students, and playgrounds among the Hmong families. The other strategies received either mixed reviews or had little or no relevance to these community members and gatekeepers. What about common themes? A number of common themes also emerged with implications for adapting physical activity strategies. First of all, groups considered that being physically active was part of their culture, and participants found culturally relevant strategies for physical activity, such as walking, hiking, hunting, hula dancing, and Tai Chi, to be appealing. For sure, then, messages to encourage increased physical activity need to be tailored to the unique cultural and social characteristics of a community. Moreover, since these groups were already aware of the benefits of physical activity and actually valued physical activity, culturally appropriate messages might best emphasize other aspects, such as stressing how much time is recommended to be active, or the importance of setting aside time to be active, rather perhaps than emphasizing the benefits associated with physical activity. In addition, activities would ideally be group-focused, hands-on, purposeful, we heard this often, and inclusive. They would engage not only families and friends, but also extended families, church, and community, the very powerful social forces in these communities. Thirdly, and this was really our aha or light bulb finding, barriers to physical activity were not culturally specific. They were common to all underserved populations and included lack of time, transportation, access, neighborhood safety, or economic resources. For example, Latina and African American participants reported lack of childcare. Native Hawaiians reported transportation issues or lack of time. Hmong, Latina, and African American participants also cited safety issues and lack of infrastructure, such as no sidewalks, bad lighting, lack of trails and bike paths as barriers to being active. Practicalities of life, in other words, trumped culture. And suggested that policy and environmental changes at the community level are going to be critical to help ensure that people who lack resources have easy, convenient, and safe access to physical activity. Do you like the art? The art in this picture and the two previous ones were created by some of the Hmong children who participated in the study. And at the risk of overanalyzing, I was struck by how all the activity in this picture and also how seamlessly the social and the physical environment are working together as compared to the previous ones in which cars and barren pavement predominate the landscape. Same point, just a different medium. So where are some of the opportunities? On the basis of our findings, interventions for these communities would seem to benefit from efforts to decrease both physical and social barriers to places where people can be physically active. Ideally, these interventions would incorporate existing community facilities into their strategies, but recognize these facilities may need modification. New roles for community leaders are also suggested. For example, partnerships with community leaders can help overcome concerns about crime, lack of infrastructure, inadequate transportation, and lack of access. Community leaders can also help recruit state partners, both in health and non-health related divisions of the local government, such as offices of transportation, education, and commerce. They can also help mobilize others and advocate for outlets for physical activity. As for conclusions, for sure, adaptation of proven physical activity strategies for cultural relevance is important. We found that a social marketing approach was useful since it helped engage the community early and also allowed for important input both from participants and gatekeepers or community leaders. We already spoke about the promise of strategies that help to create social and physical environments in which it's easy to be active and about breaking down barriers related to the practicalities of everyday life. Finally, it's important to note that this was a preliminary qualitative study. Next steps ideally would be to do some further testing and also to explore how to implement these strategies in ways that can be embraced by the community. This study was truly a collaborative effort and reflects the work of a wonderful team of researchers, some of whom you will hear from in the next three presentations. We want to acknowledge their contributions, the contributions of the NCI team, and also those of the Special Populations Networks, those participants without whom this project would not have been possible. And finally, we wanted to leave with you the URL for our recently published paper summarizing this work. We're very excited about giving birth to this paper and its four companion projects. And with that, I'll come to a close. I thank you very much for your attention and hope that this work not only was of interest, but also has whet your appetite to hear a little bit more.